this thing down. Please don't be nervous. Okay? And then we're going to get started. And by the way, I need you to get online at 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. I need to hear from you tonight. I need you to carry me. We're going to spend the next 3 hours together. In the meantime, let's do this thing. Here we go. Please, whatever you do, don't try this at home.
Congratulations. You're a part of the revolution.
It's the Smart Way Dalton Behring 5th Quarter Fan Reaction.
The place where we want to hear from Big Orange Country about today's game. To get online now.
865-200-5402.
865-200-5402.
And now, let's get to your host, Tony Basilio.
Matt Stinchcomb said it best. Matt Stinchcomb said it best at the end of that game. Tennessee gets about a C-plus going into next week. That's about a C-plus today. I totally agree with that. As I welcome you into another edition of the Smart Way, Dalton Behring 5th Quarter Fan Reaction. As, ladies and gentlemen, it's 4 past the hour in the East. That would be the 7 o'clock hour. Tennessee putting the finishing touches a few minutes ago on a 45-10 rout over Chattanooga. An outmanned Chattanooga team that gave Tennessee, I would say, a good punch for who Chattanooga is. And, you know, you play a game like that, and what you want to see is nobody get hurt. And that's essentially what we saw. Nobody got hurt. We'll talk about it, and we'll get to it. 865 tonight, 200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. This is what an interesting game today. What an interesting day in the Southeastern Conference. More an interesting day in the Southeastern Conference than an interesting game in Knoxville. What was interesting in Knoxville was that you saw Peterman in the final play of the third quarter is when Tennessee finally worked the backup quarterback into the game. And I thought it was very interesting that that's as long as it took to get to the backup quarterback. That speaks volumes. Absolute volumes for where Tennessee is as an offense. And wouldn't you know it, they are going to have a glorious night tonight down in Mississippi, down in Starkville. I can't wait till Tennessee starts playing football like this again. They're up 37-20 on Auburn, pending an extra point. They're about to go 18 points up with 11 minutes and change to go in the game. Wow. Auburn, my pick to win the West, is in big time trouble. The state of Mississippi, they don't give a damn about the whole state of Alabama. They're from Mississippi. I'm telling you. Wow. Last week, it was Ole Miss. This week, it's Mississippi State. Wow. Wee. What a statement. Tennessee finally wins a coin toss today. Let's accentuate the positive today. It's great to get a win. It's great to get back to 3-3. Those things are great. We can't run the football on a 1AA school. We can't run the football. And as Matt Stinchcomb said at the end of that game, when you can't run the football, when you take a step up in level, we've already seen it. And it all falls to Worley. And I don't want to hear this stuff about, well, Hurd wasn't in the game because, you know, he's got the gimpy shoulder and they were saving him for next week. No. You should be able to line up on Chattanooga. But herein lies the problem with the Vols. And if you talk to people about this, this is true. When you go with zone blocking, which is non-hat on hat, and you go to a zone blocking scheme, which is what Tennessee does, you're going to have trouble running the ball. and at times they had trouble keeping Worley clean today. This is Chattanooga, y'all. This is Chattanooga. But it was nice to see. There were a lot of things that it was nice to see today. I'll tell you this. That Davis Tall, the kid from Bearden, is a nice player. Wow. He's a nice, nice football player. And the Lott kid, who comes from Georgia, had himself a solid game, too. They were no match, obviously, for Tennessee downfield. Tennessee's big receivers, absolutely no match. No match and no Moss. I'm a little surprised Tennessee didn't get more done in the running game. I don't know what I thought I was going to see. I thought it would look a little better than that. Brian Hartman sent me a number through three quarters. And this is just simply astounding. A couple of numbers are astounding from today. For one thing, congratulations to Justin Worley, who's been through an awful lot. And now Tennessee, in his final year here, are three games away from making a bowl game, which would be a wonderful thing. And that needs to be on the front burner, the goal right now, on the absolute front burner. Through three quarters today, Tennessee averaged 1.8 yards per rush. That just cannot be. I'd like to get your thoughts on what we saw today. Tennessee victorious, 45-10, going to 3-3 on the year over UTC. My number on the Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction is 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. We'll keep you posted on the action that is going on around the SEC and around the country. And let's go ahead and go to the phones now and throwing out our first pitch on this week's edition on a victorious Tennessee evening is Josh. Josh, hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. It's good to get win number three today, bud.
You better believe it, brother. It's great to get win number three.
Yeah, will you do me one favor? The next time you see Coach Mahoney, will you kick him right square in the nuts for me? I am so sick of seeing our quarterback get absolutely killed.
By UTC!
By UTC. It's our left tackle stuck in the mud. I mean, what is the problem? It's unbelievable to me. We had 22 yards rushing at halftime by our running backs. What's going on?
I don't know.
Are we that bad?
Yeah, apparently.
We've got worse. We've not got better. We've regressed up front. I mean, I hate to be negative after a win, but
Josh,
do you honestly think the next 2 weeks, what do you think those games are going to look like if we play that way?
Well, what I think is really interesting is that they believe Peterman can get them to a bowl game. And here's why I say that. When is the last time a starting quarterback went wire to wire for us in these rebuilding years? It hasn't happened. I'll help you out with that. So, maybe it happened Derek Dooley's final season, but it's more the rule and not the exception here that multiple quarterbacks are going to play. And so if that's the case, tonight they tell us that Peterman might be the guy to get a crucial start or two down the stretch for this football team, and it's a real interesting decision.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it matters who plays quarterback. If we can't block nobody and we can't run but 1.8 yards a carry against anybody, much less UTC, I mean, I don't really see the point in burning his red shirt either. I'm not going to get on him about burning Dobbs' red shirt. I don't actually disagree with a lot of that.
Okay, know,
I don't
that's
think
fine.
There's lot to be gained by it.
That's
what,
fine.
What kills me is time. You know, today I noticed, like we talked about earlier, Coach Jones has kind of a give in to the fan base again, and I've seen quarterbacks running right and left every which way. I mean, we hadn't run a quarterback that many times in the whole time he's been here. You know, but today, after everybody's bitched about it for a week, we see them running around right and left, you know. And that was curious to me. I wonder where that came from.
So you think that's a, by the staff, do you think that is a reaction to that press conference this week or some of the criticism this week that they've received?
I mean, do you, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't know.
I haven't seen this running back much.
No, you're right. But maybe it was a deal where Worley felt comfortable in that game because Tennessee had such an advantage on them, a man-on-man, that he just felt like, hey, I can have myself a big game here. And then also, perhaps it's that we're not getting anything done with our running game, so I might as well keep it. Or, as Tom Hart said, maybe they want to put something on film for somebody.
Yeah, I don't think it's a negative. I mean, I didn't mean it as a negative. I'm glad to see it happen. You know, I think at least you have to show it where the defensive respect is going to do it, you know, if I get held back. But it's clear to me we just have one running back, and that's Jalen Hurd. When he's not in there, we're in trouble.
That's unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
You know, up front, I mean, we've really got to, you know, we've got to keep some more backs in, maybe an extra tight end in. We have to, you know, help those tackles out because they're actually absolutely getting worn out play after play after play.
That tall kid was wearing our tackles out at times in that game.
93,
whoever. Oh, my gosh. That Lot kid. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean, it was play after play. And, you know, next up's Kendiche and all those guys down there.
It'll get no easier.
No, but man. Anyway, I'm not all negative. I mean, defense played lights out, which they should have. But, you know, it's win number three. And hopefully we can, you know, sneak and get to six wins. I think that's something, you know, we need as a program. These kids need it.
I think I'm going to tell you something. You look around college football right now. And weird things are happening in this league, but you got to let them happen. Today, Georgia just popping Missouri.
Yeah, the East is a dumpster fire. Missouri looked pathetic. And Georgia
anything
didn't
can
look
happen.
Like Georgia. I mean, without Early, Georgia's not as good as normal as they have been.
But Josh, they played fast today. They played faster than they have. Missouri wasn't ready for it. They punched Missouri in the mouth. They didn't respond to it. And I guess my point is, Josh, I think next week's game, because it's a sandwich game for Mississippi, I think that could be an opportunity for Tennessee to steal one. I think South Carolina over there could be an opportunity for Tennessee to steal one. And don't laugh at me. I don't think Alabama, this team, I don't think they're very good at all. By Alabama standards.
Alabama can be beat, but my hope is that we get through these next two healthy because I honestly think we have a chance to run the table after that. We do have a chance to because there's no doubt in my mind our defense is going to give Matty Mock problems after watching him today. And, you know, South Carolina, you never know who's going to show up. So
no, you don't.
We've got a chance in that game. And Kentucky was down 14 right off the bat. It had been for their defense. They would have been in a dogfight, honestly.
That's exactly right.
So these next two games, it's critical we come out injury-free. I think that it'll definitely help our offense if we get Josh Smith back in the receiver core all healthy because we're just a lot better in the short passing game when we can spread everybody out and have, you know, all those targets to throw to. But anyway, Tony, I always love your show, brother. And thanks for taking my call, man.
Thank you. Care, great talking to you tonight. As Josh leaves us, if you want to get in, 865-200-5402 is the number. As this is your Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction, the place where we take your thoughts, your comments on the game as soon as it ends. This is immediate. This is instant. And Josh, to be honest with you, I don't mind you being a little frustrated. I think most people are a little frustrated after tonight. You would like to think that the UTC game would be a game where it would be no sweat at all, and you would be able to put get your reserves in late in the second quarter, not your backup quarterback in the game with one play to go in the third quarter. I mean, that's just not how the UTC game should look in any year in Knoxville. In any year. But what do I know? I am glad to get a win. I'm glad that there was a lot of things in today's game that I was glad to see. I was glad to see the young people as active as they were up front. I think that's a good, especially on defense. And that's really what I'm talking about when I say up front. Obviously, that's what I meant because I didn't mean it offensively. But up front on defense, boy, Barnett, Weathered, from the linebacking position, those guys, some of our pressure up front, they really get up the field well. And you really get a sense for how great these athletes are at the Division I level when you watch them against foes from a school like a UTC. Just the speed level. In the game today, Worley has 198 yards through the air. Scott, 42 yards. Krim today was 76 yards receiving. And A.J. Johnson leads Tennessee on defense with 9 tackles. He was extremely active. And I was really worried about the UTC kids getting hurt. I was afraid. I was afraid of that. 865-200-5402 if you want to get on with us and get in with us today. All lines currently jammed as they will stay throughout. Tennessee ends up with some late fourth quarter stuff. 123 yards on the ground today versus Chattanooga. Whew, God, it's atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. Arkansas with a touchdown. It's 7-6 pending the extra point there. How about the Razorbacks? They are going to give Alabama all they want. Mark it down. Mark my words. Alabama is beatable in Neyland Stadium in a couple weeks. Tony, what are you smoking? Tennessee couldn't even run the ball against UTC. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the nature of the Southeastern Conference right now. Is such that it is a free-for-all. And this is not Alabama's best team. I think there's a chance they lose tonight. I thought that all week. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State are making back-to-back statements. Statements, I say, as we get ready to go back to our phones. Another mystifying number that I had to go back and check, and sure enough, it's right. Tennessee, Worley today goes into the record books. He's the first quarterback since 2002 to rush for 2 touchdowns in the same game for the Vols. How is that true? Eric is up next with us. Eric, hello. Welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Eric.
Today is just even more reason to relight the bowling ball. You know what I mean? I don't know if you remember that call from
last week. Yeah, were you the guy whose father lit the bowling ball on fire in the backyard?
Yeah, that was me.
That's good. That's good stuff.
You know, I heard a very good. We were trying to label the offense all week on one of our message boards, and somebody compared our offense to a limp-wristed handshake, and I thought that was probably the best comparison I've heard yet about our offense. I mean, it really just was personified when Kirbyson just was like a Mexican bullfighter, just letting the defensive end right past him and blowing up Worley.
What was that? And then he dove at him at the end as if to say, "Oh yeah, man, I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna show you." I mean, what in the world was that?
I don't understand. And you know, you have to imagine how bad Blair has to be at the fact that Kirbyson is even in the game. I mean, I almost think it's not even like real life. I think that I'm like living in the Matrix watching this stuff because there's no way that any one player can be as bad as Kirbyson at left tackle. I don't know.
You know what doesn't make any sense to me? Why don't they let the Kendrick kid play? The Kendrick kid played early in the season. They took his job because he wanted to get his guy on the field. And that's understandable. They want to play Coleman Thomas, and he recruited him, and I understand that. And they think, and I guess they think Kendrick is soft, but that week, internally, this happened. He graded out one of the three highest grades the week they took his job from him and gave him a shirt. Now, somebody can check on that if they don't believe me. That's absolutely the truth.
I think you're referring to the Oklahoma game, but I mean, I could be mistaken.
I think it was, and they took his job from him, and they've been, I think it was before the Oklahoma game. So who would Tennessee have played before that?
Arkansas State.
That's how it was. It was Arkansas State. And he hadn't seen the field since because they decided they were going to go with this line. Well, I got news for you. This line's not getting any better, and they ought to go back and try to give that kid another opportunity at one of those outside positions because it's a sieve.
Well, hey, you know, listen, whether you got to give him a shot, you got to give anybody a shot at this point. Hell, I'm 5'9", 200 pounds, okay? Put me in there, hell, you know? I mean, I'll at least try to cut somebody's damn knees out from under them.
Talk about a bowling ball. You're built like one.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Oh, no, that's messing with me.
But you know what? You know, the coaching staff's inability to adapt to the offensive line, I think it's 100% coaching at any level. I mean, listen, the year that Crompton was here, his senior year, he wasn't like that great of a quarterback, but look at what Kiffin had to do. He rolled him out of the pocket, doing a lot of bootlegs. And I don't know if you recall the touchdown against Oklahoma when Worley threw the ball to Josh Smith. And even today, the same play to the opposite side of the field where Worley rolled out and threw it down the sideline at Johnson. He rolls him out. You know, at least you're giving your offensive line a chance. You know?
I mean, agree.
I don't get it. Just keep doing that. You know, and you know, our offensive coach, if Bajakian ever listens to this call, just get out of Knoxville, man. Just leave. You know, take a job at Eastern Michigan next year. Do something to just save yourself. You know, and bring in George Quarles. You know, I don't know anything about George Quarles. I keep hearing his name being popped up over the last 3 to 4 years. But, you know, at this point, as a Vol fan, you might as well do it because this coaching staff is playing for next year. The fact that Peterman is still playing just shows me that you're not playing for this year. You're playing for next year. So, you know what?
That is surprising. You agree with me? That's because the last caller said he doesn't mind them keeping Dobbs as red shirt. But here's the thing, and that's the thing I didn't unpack with the last caller, so I ask you because you brought it up. And like Orange Throat over at TonyBasilio.com said on yesterday's blog, doesn't that kind of make you worry about the stretch drive in as much as you think this quarterback is going to be able, absent of his body being held together by Bondo, is he going to be able to stay healthy the next 2 weeks behind our offensive line?
It's not possible. It's not possible, especially in this conference. It's not any conference.
No. Not with that. Look. Hey, those two ends played really well today from UTC. They really did. That tall kid, you know he was jacked up to be in Neyland Stadium, and he was flying around out there. The thing is, that was Tennessee Chattanooga, and our offensive line struggled to pass block against him at times and really struggled to run block against him. And I just, you can't help but marvel at that. That seems to be almost impossible that could be the case.
Hey, you know, listen, I'll end it with this. You know, the SEC Network showed a little clip of Butch Jones being a little flustered there during the week in that press conference where he talks about, you know, I'm a parent, and just like any other young kids, you're going to get frustrated, but you got to trust the process, and I'm encouraged. What process? Are you the process of eventually trying to block a mid-major? Is that what you're talking about? Because if that's the case, get out. Just get out. I don't even care about this year's recruiting class if that's going to be your whole persona about it. You know, that's Dooley-esque losing mentality. You either win or you don't win. It's really that simple. I don't care if I sound like a redneck to the majority of the fan base right now, but you either have a winning mentality or you don't. Don't give me the whole young excuses crap. Just don't give it to me.
Well, they are young, and that is an excuse. It's a legitimate excuse. You make a good point when you say you've got to protect your quarterback. I make an excellent point when I say you've got to help him with a fullback or another tight end, or in some way you've got to alter what you're trying to do offensively, because It obviously doesn't work. It barely worked today, and you're playing Chattanooga. It's amazing. Yeah. 1.8 yards per carry through three quarters, and it was eye test city. You don't even need those numbers to know that in the first couple drives, we just can't run the football against Chattanooga. But the other thing for you to consider, for me to consider, and for all of us to consider is this. What if Tennessee was to just play, instead of the zone blocking scheme, adopt mall ball and do what Arkansas does, or what Philip Fulmer Lines used to do, absent of the Jimmy Ray Stevens years here, and that is put a hat on a hat and just let them go? Could they function better like that? I don't know. It's worth asking. I mean, it's too late to ask that now, but it's worth saying, is it the scheme that this line struggles with, or is this line this bad?
I think it's definitely the scheme. I mean, listen, you're going to run downhill. At least you have the chance of Deshaun Robertson, an all-state wrestler, okay, at least trying to maul somebody out of the way for at least a whopping 3 yards. Okay? At least you're going to give him a chance that way. Hey, and listen, I'll just end it like this, and I know you got a lot of callers to go to. Unless anything changes for the rest of the year, and I don't think it will, and I don't think we're going to go to a bowl game, I'm going to continue to call in every week, and George Quarles for offense coordinator. That's it.
I love George Quarles. Thank you, Eric. Good talking to you. And in light of the way these high school coaches, including Gus Malzahn, have had tremendous success at the collegiate level, I don't laugh at that now, because I think the sport at the high school level has grown. And I think there's certainly something to be said for that translating. And I think George Quarles, over at Maryville, by the way, who's won multiple state championships here, he's probably 30 minutes or so from the Raymier studio. He's a one heck of a coach, no doubt about it. As it's 29 past hour number one, time for me to remind you that Smartway presents portions of tonight's program. As Butch Jones said today, we had young individuals get reps out there. They were able to put their work on video, and I quote, and develop their own brand, their own personal brand. Butch Jones, ladies and gentlemen, following tonight's game as he's meeting the depressed over at the University of Tennessee. The first stat Butch Jones threw out tonight was touchbacks from Medley. That was the first thing. He said Darrell Scott and Justice Pickett gave us quality reps today. He said we got back to playing Tennessee football with one penalty. Medley, 7 touchbacks. Worley responsible for 5 touchdowns, and he said Jonathan Johnson stepped up in this game. I thought we did what we needed to do to win tonight. It was a business-like approach. Interesting. Let's go back to our busy phones before I do. I want to remind you here. And Dubsy's coming in, and then we'll get our cavalcade of stars, studs, and stallions on. I will call the great Jason Swain here and get his thoughts on what we saw today as well. We'll visit with several different folks as we go this evening. Smartway presenting our program tonight as a co-presenting sponsor. GoSmartway.net. Everything for your home where you'll pay your way. It's the Everything for Your Home store where you will pay your way, located at 8416 Kingston Pike, also online at GoSmartway.net. And Smartway has everything for your home where you pay your way. Knoxville's newest retailer of furniture, appliances, electronics, cell phones. They even have tires, and they offer products in a way that I don't think you've ever seen before. Here's the way it works. You can go in there today in the smart way, walk in, pay in full, walk out the door, and pay a low price and go about your business. Or you can choose 120 days same as cash, pay the cash price within the first 120 days. Or you can choose a lease, purchase, or rent-to-own program where you can choose your payment amount and the frequency, and you can also change it anytime you want without the hassle of a new agreement. And that's why we mean pay your way. You can change on the fly. You can let it roll and do it your way. One thing you got to understand, all on-time lease payments earn 2% in-store cash credit. can be used anytime for what you want, when you want it, smart way, ladies and germs. And by the way, I've got an unbelievable caller roster getting ready to take the floor, including Don and the Sober Monk. The Sober Monk wants to get in with us this evening. I wonder if he's any relation to Art Monk, one of my favorite former Washington Redskins. As Nick Marshall has thrown yet another interception, I think that one's going to stand. And it has been a brutal day for Auburn. And my ears are going to be ringing for weeks. Can you imagine if you were in that crowd there? How brutal that would be. Jones said he was pleased with the defense overall. He said the young guys didn't quite hold their standard. Hey, I'll tell you this. He was ripping into some young guys there at the end of the third quarter. He was doing some serious coaching there at the end of that third quarter. Back to our phones we go. Mississippi State football, and that's the football game. Wow. Mississippi State takes down Auburn. Mississippi State 3 in America beats 2 in America. Wow. That's it. What an incredible development. Back-to-back weeks. Auburn and Alabama. I can't wait till we get back to playing that kind of football here, and it's going to happen. And it is going to happen here. It is going to happen. Mark it down. Back to our phones we go. Hard to believe we're a half hour in. As I go back to our busy phones, Don is next with us. Don, hello.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, D, welcome.
Well, it was ugly 45-10 win. Wanted to make a few points talking about some bright spots since there's going to be a lot of complaining after the game.
Please, Don.
I don't know. You're talking about the yardage they piled up in the fourth quarter, and I don't know if Chattanooga also had subbed in, but do you know who the linemen were during that fourth quarter when Tennessee was finally running the ball?
Lay it on me. No, I'm not that astute.
Okay. It was Marquise Pair, it was Sanders, it was Kendrick. That was three of them that I know of. You know, the guys that aren't good enough to get on the field. And like I say, maybe they were going against Chattanooga's backups. I don't know. I wasn't paying that much attention to Chattanooga's defense at the time, but I just know that the only yardage we gained to speak of was in that fourth quarter, and it was the guys that can't seem to get on the field, even just for a player to spell somebody for whatever reason.
It's interesting how those two tackles, Don, are locked in there, and it's like the jaws of life can't pull them out of the game.
Well, weird. Collins a while ago said nobody could do worse than Kirbyson. I don't know. I think Thomas is just about as bad.
That's what I'm saying. I mean no offense to those guys.
Oh, don't let your quarterback get killed.
Yeah.
Oh.
Poor Kirbyson on that one play, and he comes blindside, and that just can't happen.
It was awful. But I said I want to talk about some of the good things. Part of it was that backup line, and I feel really great that Peterman scored a touchdown today. I mean, with all the kids been through, I was tickled to death seeing him see the end zone. What's been the hold up on Evan Berry running kickoffs back?
Isn't that amazing? I love seeing that kid out there. I love seeing all our guys making plays. But I love seeing Evan Berry. When he hurdled a man, it was so sweet. What great ball skills.
Yeah. Ain't it? And many people's been waiting, and you know, I know it was Chattanooga, whatever. But the bottom line is he made plays. I mean, did you say? I mean, the guy had the angle on him. The first one, after he kind of broke to the outside, and he just ran past the guy. And like you said, he hurdled the guy. And if he hadn't come down on top of two or three people trying to block for him, he'd probably scored him.
Oh, yeah. It would have been an all-time highlight here, too. And I wonder if he gets more time, because he looked very comfortable. The knock on him has been his inability in practice to consistently catch the football. And I can see why, absent of an opponent like this, where you would feel hesitant to put him in a game like that.
Yeah, but, you know, that seems to be the – and I know that you got to practice well, and you know, in order to play for most coaches. But, I mean, I'm wondering if that ain't the whole deal about the line. Maybe we've got some practice linemen out there. I don't know. I just, you know. Of course, one-point games is after last week is a curse, but you said a while ago that Alabama was ahead of Arkansas 7-6, being an extra point. Now, they missed the extra point.
I know. Yeah, I saw that.
He wasn't blocked. He just...
Good gosh almighty. In a game like that. And now it's halftime. 7-6 game. Yep.
And if they end up losing by one and Alabama gets that same miracle, but I don't know. There's schools like Alabama,
yep,
Florida, just saying, walk around. They got a four-leaf clover in their shoe. They got a
horseshoe
in their back pocket.
Up their rear end. Yep.
But going back to some of our guys, I'll give Chattanooga credit for one thing. When they did throw, the first thing this year's been smart enough to know that you just don't throw toward 23. They stayed away from him.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
Best cornerback in the SEC. I don't care about the guy down in Florida, whoever. I'm telling you, I've watched both of them play several times this year. He's better than Hargrave. Even if they were even, you just take the height and everything different, he's going to be your better. He'll be your better choice. You know, earlier today, listening to some pregame other places, I heard people really bemoaning the fact that, or not bemoaning, but just kind of talking about the fact that Missouri was going to come into the SEC and win back to Eastern Division titles, that they didn't think Georgia would be able to get up today. Yeah. Missouri, I've seen them today. I've seen them against Indiana. That's a very beatable football team.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. Hey, the rest of Tennessee's schedule from here on out, with the exception of maybe next week on a night game down there, the rest of these games, if you can get any line play at all, and believe me, that's a big if.
That's a big if
when you start talking about line play. Because the thing about our offensive line is that it'll get you beat. Well, against Chattanooga tonight, that fumble's not a big deal. But as we've seen in some of these other games, Don, when you don't protect that blind side, it is a big deal because all you need are a couple turnovers or one turnover. The margin of error is going to be so thin. If we can just do some things to keep him semi-clean, that South Carolina game's winnable. That Missouri game's winnable. I expect Tennessee to beat Kentucky here, although I'm not putting that in the win column because Kentucky, I think, is extremely improved, being fair about it. I think Alabama here in a couple weeks, people can laugh at this. I think they stink. I'm going to be honest with you. I agree with Mike Hugan, and he thinks they're going to lose three or four games this year, and I think he's right. I think he's right about them.
Yeah, I think they've got some major issues over there, and, you know, I don't think it 4-3 record over the last seven games and three straight top 25 losses is just an aberration. And old Nicky better be glad he got his $7 million contract before some of this started, you know, catching up with him a little bit. But going back to our guys and our team and our young guys, today Chris Weather just was so over the impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Barnett always is. Young guys back in the back played, you know, good for the most part. It's just, you got to figure they're going to improve as the year goes on. So by the time we get down the stretch in those last couple of games, two, three games against Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, hopefully our line can do anything. Those other guys are just going to be that much better. That defense is going to keep Tennessee in every game.
Don, thank you. Great call by you. Love to hear the positives. We're going to accentuate the positives tonight, 865-200-5402. By the way, since the Associated Press started keeping polls back in 1936, tonight TCU and Baylor have scored 109 points today. That is the most by top 10 teams since the Associated Press started keeping a poll way back when. Russell Smith, U of 94.3 FM, The Drive. Hello and welcome.
How's it going?
Man, it's great. We're talking about the game. And, you know, the thing about the UTC game is this. It's a shame Tennessee has to play that game. It's a shame UTC has to play that game.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a game where you really can't concentrate when you're playing it. All that said,
you don't take anything
from it, except you couldn't even run the ball against them convincingly.
Well, I think Tennessee is going to have to go ahead and change the school nickname for the year, Tony, from Vols to just V's, because they have no OL. I mean, that's the worst offensive line I've ever seen.
What did you say? You're so proud of that. The V's?
The V's.
The Tennessee V's.
Instead of the Vols. There's no OL. Yes, I'm highly amused with myself, but I mean, it is what it is, man. I mean, you throw Kendrick in there, you can throw Pear in there, it's not going to be any better. I mean, you just got to take.
Yeah, but why is he so married to those tackles? I mean, those guys. No offense, it's weird.
Colton Thomas. I remember Juwan James this past week was saying, "Yeah, well, you know, I took my lumps too. We had a bad offensive line."
Not like that.
Yeah, I don't remember him just getting ragdolled the way these guys are.
This was Chattanooga today doing that, by the way.
Yeah, and you know, you can talk about the freshmen all they want, but the other guys aren't that much better. So.
Mm-mm-mm.
You better be out there recruiting. They need a couple of tackles, and we're going to see if this Mahoney guy can really develop some offensive linemen, because you're going to be seeing these guys next year too.
I'll tell you what, it's a really interesting time, what's going on around this conference and what's going on around college football right now. This being the first year of the playoff. We're going to wake up Monday morning, and Mississippi State is going to be number one in America at the midway point of the season. They're going to jump Florida State. You watch and see.
They should, but I don't think they will.
They're going to jump Florida State.
That's not the way the AP and those polls work.
And Ole Miss will be sitting there about number three or four. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
We're going to go down there into a hornet's nest next week.
Well, at least they're not going to Mississippi State.
Back to our phones we go. 865-200-5402.
What do you think the Ole Miss defensive line are going to think when their coaches flip on film of Tennessee's offensive line and say, "Here's who you're going against this week, boys."
You know what that's like? When you stick one of those begging strips and stick it out in front of my dog, and the saliva is just coming down all over the floor. Let's get in here with the sober monk, who's next on your Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Mike, not sober monk.
Sober Mike. I'm sorry, man. Sober Mike.
Everybody?
Sober Mike. What's up, brother?
Hey, I got something to tell you. Number one, you touched on something right. Number one, that defensive end, that whole guy for Chattanooga, he's playing in the NFL.
Yeah, you're talking about Davis Tall. Davis Tall, who comes from Bearden. And Tall hasn't looked like that since Ian Anderson was out in front of them, and they were sitting on a park bench back in the day.
He was thick as a brick.
Thick as a brick, and he had an Aqualung out there today. I mean, it was serious.
It was locomotive breath all day long coming off the edge.
Well, he's better than any Overstreet or anything we ever had.
Come on. But he's Overstreet-like. He's Overstreet-like. I mean, he played really hard out there today.
Anyway, that ain't what I called about. Tony, I want this fan base to get behind this team, because you say it all the time, you get it on there every time, but we only get 12 weeks of this every year, right? Look, we finally have a defense. And when you have a defense, you have a chance to win any game. I don't care how bad our offensive line is. As long as you have a defense, you have a chance to win. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, we're winning out. We might lose to Ole Miss. We're beating Kiffin when he comes in here. Now, I want to say something. Why can't we have a blackout and bring out the black jerseys for when Alabama comes in remembrance of little Kiffy?
break out the black jerseys for the Alabama game.
Black jerseys, have a blackout.
In honor of Kiffy.
Does Alabama scare you?
Alabama this year?
Their offense. Does their offense scare you?
Absolutely not. They do not
That's
scare me.
Saying.
You guys are crazy.
They don't scare me. Not with our secondary. They don't scare me. With our secondary, they don't scare me.
Say what you will about Florida. They've got a pretty good defense, and Alabama just undressed them, embarrassed them. He missed over 600 yards. Could have been much worse.
Florida had a bad week, and Florida and Florida had two weeks, and Florida had 2 weeks to prepare for us, and they gave us a bear look. They followed the Oklahoma. The Oklahoma plan, Alabama's not going to do that. Alabama, Nick Saban's too hard-headed to do that, to approach that game with Tennessee like that.
Okay. Don't get your hopes up, folks.
I'm not getting my hopes up for when I'm
keep
telling
your cup
you,
on.
I'm telling
I
you.
No hopes up.
I'm telling you.
I know how Tony said this is put your cup on university. I understand that. Let me tell you something. I ain't worried about the Crimson Tide. Another thing, y'all keep bashing this offensive line. Now, I do understand that they're bad, pass blocking, and you're acting like it. Look, I see so many lanes. I was a running back coach. I see so many lanes when a running back, when he gets the handoff, if he'll just cut back, is there. Go back and watch the film of every game. I don't know what is up with our running backs. I don't think we have a running back. There's lanes there, guys.
Even Hurd?
Yeah, he can't play. He's overrated.
Are you sure you're sober, Mike?
No, I might have had one or two too many.
Okay.
No,
it's all starting to make sense now.
No, dude, there is lanes there. Come on, man.
You are kidding, right? There are not lanes there. I mean, isn't it
I'm talking about Marlon Lane. There is a running back named Lane there.
Blood Red Moon still out? Or?
Hey,
come on, sober Mike.
All right. When I call you back after we whoop the tie, oh, no, listen, number, all right. We're 7-5 easy, right? You agree with that?
No. We are 6-6 by the skin of our chinny chin chin. That's what we're going to be.
So you're saying Missouri's going to be?
No, I'm saying that every game is winnable, and we might be able to steal one if we put together a complete effort. Exactly. And defensively turn the ball over a couple times and beat somebody 10-9. I mean, God knows we need one of those games. We ought to get one of those games. Our kids deserve one of those games. And then down the stretch, if you go winless through this next spate, you really put a lot of pressure on yourself because Missouri and Kentucky going back-to-back there, even with a bye week, that's not going to be easy shakes, man. That's just not.
Well, I know, but the only thing is, I talked to my dad and I was wrong. I thought we had to go to Kentucky, so I counted as a loss, but I found out they're coming to Knoxville.
No, it's here, right.
We got Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. That's three more wins, definitely. South Carolina, Spurrier, come on. I mean, we're beating Bama. Let's bring out the black jerseys and have a blackout and welcome Kiffin back.
Thank you. Lane Kiffin, that's going to be very interesting when he come home. Russell, what is that they play in the Big 12, and do they belong, or whatever that league is, do they belong in the playoff conversation when the score is 58-58 with 117 to go in a football game? That's 116 points to those of you scoring at home.
I don't know what you want to call it, but it's fun to watch, I'll say
that. It's stupid. It's arena football. It's arena football. It's not fun. You think that's fun to watch?
Oh, yeah.
58-58? Wow. I would much rather have a 10-9 game than that. Much rather have 10-9, where every play matters.
Oh, no.
I mean,
you're talking about last week's Florida game? You would rather watch that?
I like low-scoring football.
I'd rather beat myself over the head with a ball-peen hammer for 3 hours than watch that.
No, I didn't say that. But I do enjoy... I do enjoy low-scoring football ahead of that nonsense right there, 58-58. On Twitter, it says Sober Monk I can't read that. Gray Energy says, let me officially question Sober Mike's sobriety.
Drunk Monk.
Drunk Monk is getting some hate online. Josh says, I give UT the edge against UK because we get a bye before them. I thought it was a wasted buy before the year, and now look at us. Mark Keck asks, you really think George Quarles wants a 100-hour a work week? MSU barely went to a bowl game last year. Don't be a legions of the miserable, man. Hey, Mark, listen, I'm not being legions of the miserable. Come on, brother. That's not fair to me. And by the way, I didn't bring it up. The caller brought it up and said he's going to keep bringing it up. George Quarles for offensive coordinator. And all I said is, you could do worse. And I used to laugh at that, and you can't anymore with the way high school coaches have been successful throughout college football. And that's a fact. I'm not the head coach. I don't decide whether Bajakian stays or goes or comes or goes or what Bajakian does. I don't know how much of this is Bajakian or how much of it isn't. I don't think any of us do. I mean, when you have that offensive line. It's just, it's hard to figure what you're watching. Russell, what did you make of the decision to play Peterman?
I guess they're just hell-bent on redshirting Josh Dobbs. I don't know what to make of it. I don't think Peterman is as awful as a lot of people make him out to be. I don't think he's a big-time SEC quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. But it's, you know, he gets, anytime he gets out there against inferior opponent, he looks competent. He can run the, he makes the throws and everything, but maybe it's just a nerve issue.
He looked good tonight.
Yeah, but
he looked settled down in that game, which is good. That's good that you got him some. It's good that you got him some work.
Like I said, against inferior opponents, he often looks in control. But the two times we've seen him out there when it matters, it's been an unmitigated disaster.
At 55 past your hour, we're approaching approximately an hour on the air with you here. Let me say that Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic, in the business of providing exceptional service and unbeatable prices for all their customers. Dalton Bearing, I was talking to Randy earlier today. Dalton Bearing does not promise more than they can give. I was talking to Randy. He was on his way into the game today. He said, Tony, tell the listener we really love the reaction we've had so far on what we're doing with you on the Smart Way Dalton Bearing fifth quarter fan reaction. And the bottom line is Dalton Bearing right from Little Granger County, Tennessee. You ready for this? Selling over 200,000 AC and DC hydraulic cylinders and hydraulic power units annually. The number one source, whether you're talking about standard stock or off the shelf, or custom, hydraulic cylinders and power units. And also, Dalton Bearing has anything that turns and makes mobile components. They have it for you. They will take great care of you. Hoses, hose assemblies, fittings, couplings, hydraulic motors, thousands of bearings, online at daltonhydraulic.com. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. As there will be a pass interference on TCU with 31 seconds to play. How about Petty bringing Baylor back from the dead in this game? A guy that Lane Kiffin said, you're not good enough to come to the University of Tennessee. We don't want you. He didn't want Cam Newton. He didn't want Taj Boyd.
He wanted Tyler Bray.
What the hell? I mean, listen to what you just said.
Tyler Bray's in the NFL.
Listen to what you just said.
Yeah, I know.
Is that embarrassing? He told me, Lane Kiffin did, right before the beginning of the season last year, had him on my daily show. And I said, Lane, about that decision, Taj Boyd, if I had a chance to do it over, I'd do it all over again tomorrow, do the exact same thing. He didn't fit our offense. I'm going, what is the matter with these people? He didn't fit your offense. Back to the phones we go. Tennessee wins today, victorious over Chattanooga. And the reason we're jumping around a little bit, and we're going to mix in a lot of college football along with today's result, simply to make today palatable because it is a game over a 1AA opponent. And I'm really, really proud of the way Davis Tall balled out for his family, Chuck Gufon and company. They were all in attendance today. I'm proud of the way that kid played, and I'm glad that nobody on either team, we come out of that with any serious injuries. Back to the phones we go. And our next caller will be Smitty. Smitty, hello and welcome.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Smit, welcome.
Well, there's only a couple things that we can take from the game today because Chattanooga obviously is an inferior opponent. We all know that the offensive line's terrible, but today really showed a lot that Chattanooga was able to get 5 sacks on these guys. I mean, this is a game where you hope that they could try to get a little bit better, you know, going up against a weaker defensive line than they normally see, but they just proved that they can't stop anybody. Which is annoying, but hey, they still got the win. The defense was there. They looked pretty good. And I guess since there's really not a whole lot to talk about, I was about to fall asleep, this week or, in the stadium just cause our band is really that bad. I'm not sure which one's worse, the band.
Our poor band. I mean, they're slowly phasing them down a little bit with the piped in music as they're doing all over the country. And the third down for what? I think the numbers tonight, were that Rocky Top was played 2 more times than third down for what, but it was pretty close.
I don't know what they're doing. I mean, I think Russell was talking about this on his show earlier this week. I'm not sure if that's right or not, but they just play, you know, Bon Jovi, things like that. I mean, that stadium's not very lively. It's hard to get people off for that game. But play something that, you know, people are going to at least enjoy themselves with. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, it's enough with the Lord of the Rings and stuff like that, and Gladiator, that's all stuff of the past. I mean, Lord of the Rings ain't going to pump me up. I mean, let's be real.
Dubs, do you have a thought on that? Were you talking about the band this week on your show?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a shame. You know, the Pride of the Southland band used to add so much to the experience in Neyland Stadium, and it's just a shell of itself. There's no soul to it. It's just, and he's right, it takes away from the experience rather than add to it. I say just let them go out there, do their pregame march up and down the field, let them march at halftime, but other than that, stick a sock in it, man.
During the game?
Pump in the music over the loudspeakers and turn it up.
During the game?
Absolutely.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm 100% serious.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I wouldn't mind that. I mean, they put me to sleep. I mean, I sit there and listen to what they play, and I'm like, well, I mean, there goes that. There goes the fire in the stadium. I mean, there goes. It's like they got some kind of sense of entitlement over there. And they've had all their problems when they whipped out the Under Armour last year with what they were wearing because they were fighting against the university instead of wearing Adidas and all that stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable. They're just a band, you know, play and do what you're supposed to do. But, I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm talking about the band after the game, which is pretty embarrassing. But, I mean, still, my goodness.
Hey, while we're whining about the fan experience at Neyland Stadium, I'll go ahead and say this too. If they need to just go ahead and go with the field turf in Neyland Stadium because that field is embarrassing.
Oh my gosh.
It looks like
my backyard with the
better than
field.
That looks horrible.
What is the deal with the field?
It's just torn up. And people said, well, you know, it's hard to keep the grass growing where the paint is. I mean, it looks horrible in between the hash marks.
It's because they're having those guys come out there in the summer and play on it, so it's already beat up before they even take the field first game.
Oh, then you just go ahead and go with the field.
Well, what they're doing over there, Butch Jones wants that field green 24/7.
Well, it's brown during the season when everybody's looking at it.
Well, but he wants to keep it. He wants to keep it. He wants to keep it so that recruits, and they have to re-sod it at least 4 times a year.
It looks terrible.
3 days that recruits don't come in because they're resawing the field.
That's exactly right.
Just go with
which
the turf.
Which is pretty crazy. I mean, that's pretty cool. But
Notre Dame has the field turf. Michigan has
the
field
like
turf.
It.
Nebraska
I don't like the pellets. I don't like the pellets.
Well, I mean,
I don't like how it looks.
Do you like what you saw today?
Yes.
It looks like on a dog track.
I'd rather watch something that has the infield cutouts in it, like the old Jack Murphy Stadium in San Diego. Than looking at that field turf
stuff.
Some of
the creases of your old veteran stadium you have.
Absolutely. Hey,
oh, man.
Hey, Smitty, really appreciate the call. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Go Cardinals.
When I said, and by the way,
Baylor survived.
Baylor just stole a win 61-58. as they beat the Iowa Barnstormers in Big 12 football today. Arena Football League reference there, but Baylor comes from the dead in that game. I think the deficit in that thing was, what, 17 points, if not more than that? It was a pretty huge deficit. And Baylor comes all the way back to beat TCU. Baylor, a team with Oklahoma –